that this is a time that we remember that Jesus Christ came to the earth so that we could receive salvation. Our Heavenly Father loved us so much that He wanted to make sure that we could connect to Him and that eternal life and salvation belong to us. And so tonight, as we get this opportunity to just worship God, we're just going to be thankful tonight that our Father in heaven loved us so much, more than anything else in the world, more than anything else in the earth, more than anything else in the universe. He loved us so much that He sent His Son that we could be redeemed from the curse of the law and we could return to sonship and daughtership and just be the children of the Most High God. And we're just going to be thankful for that, and we're just going to step into God's goodness, and let's just worship Him tonight.
Like a rushing wind. storm, stir within my soul. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me.
Just make that confession.
Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Let's sing it
just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. I know there's peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. 'Cause your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression. I speak Jesus one more time. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. It's your name is your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like fire. Your name. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
Shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountain. Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountain. Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountain. Jesus in the street. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus. Because your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is love.
stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. Cause I know there's peace within His presence, and I speak Jesus.
I confess that with me tonight.
And I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. Cause I know there's peace within His presence. And I speak Jesus.
I got one more.
I've searched the world, they couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise, treasures in vain, never enough. You came along and put me back together. Is the God of the valley. There's not a place Your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than You. There's nothing better than You, Jesus. Nothing, nothing. Nothing is better than You. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes.
turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn rains into goddess. You give bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Jesus. Nothing. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Jesus. Nothing, nothing is better than you.
Well, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God. There is nothing better than Jesus. Amen? Amen. And, you know, he will find us wherever we are at. And even if you have a situation where you find yourself even falling away from the Lord, I promise you that if you will return to him and just get back to working with Jesus, you will discover that our God is so faithful that he will restore to you the years that the locust has stolen. In other words, anything Satan has done to steal from you, he will restore. And he's a great God, and he's a powerful God, a merciful God. So the first thing I want to tell you is, boy, for those of you who could stay, we had a great time at the end of the service Sunday doing baptism, and that was powerful and wonderful. I also want to remind you coming up that this week, our weekly service is going to be on Friday instead of Thursday because it's our Christmas Eve service, and we start at 6 o'clock, right? Yeah. Amen? Praise God. And I'm excited about that because during that service, we are going to have people that sing that are part of the congregation that don't sing all the time. So it is just going to be a great time. So I want you to come together for that. And then we'll be wishing you a Merry Christmas. And we'll be thanking that we get to be back with you soon. Amen. And I can't wait till just Sunday there because I get to preach a message that I'm stirred up about. But we better get ready to let children go to children's class.
They're already gone.
Okay, they're already gone. Well, praise God. Then what we're going to do is take a look at Malachi chapter 3, and I'm going to read you what it says here. It says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me with herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." What a powerful promise from our Father in heaven. Now, I want you to know something, that sometimes people will begin tithing, and then fear or desperation will stop them from tithing. But I promise you that if you will commit yourself to tithing to the Lord and letting him be a part of your finances, what God is interested in doing is, my goodness, if he wanted your money, he'd take a bigger portion of it. Amen? Because he gives you 90% of it. Jeez. But the thing that the Lord is interested in is he wants the right to put his supernatural touch on your life. And when you give him your tithe and your offering, what you do is you open up your life to say, Jesus, now you can bring your supernatural world into touching my finances, and you can help me supernaturally, and you can go above and beyond anything that I understand. And that's why the Lord can bring promotion to your life. The Lord can cancel debt. The Lord can give you favor. The Lord can let you rent a place that you don't even qualify for. He can give you a promotion at work when people don't even think you're ready for it. There's all kinds of things that God can do on your behalf when we open our heart up in the area of tithing and offering. So I just want to let you know that the Lord will open the windows of heaven over your life if you will just let him move in this area. So we're going to take a few minutes, and we're going to bring the offering buckets up, and I'm going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just declare your glory and your goodness over everybody's life, Father. Lord, I thank you that the tithing and offering covenant, which you brought forth to us, God, is your supernatural covenant and your way that you can touch humanity supernaturally from heaven, Father. Lord, I thank you for your blessing over this offering, God, and your blessing over the lives of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Bring your tithes and offerings to the front. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I tell you what, I thought I was done teaching our subject last week when I preached first judge yourself, and then I preached judge who, you know, like. But actually, we're just going to touch on some things, and I don't know that it's so much on judgment. It's just a range of things that I believe the Lord really wants me to touch on before we move on. And it just says here in Hebrews chapter 6, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection, not laying again the foundation of the repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism, of the laying on of hands, and of resurrection from the dead, and of eternal judgment. And the thing that we had focused on here is that it says that we did not want to lay the foundation again of the repentance from dead works. And what we really started understanding about is that we used to think that repentance just meant, hey, when I make a mistake or when I do a sin, I have to repent, and I want to make sure that I do that. But really, repentance should be a daily part of our life. In other words, as we read the Bible, we're going to start understanding things the way God wanted them to be as opposed to how we understand them. Sometimes we're going to know culturally, we're going to know by experience, and we're going to know just by life things that we believe. See, just like me when I grew up, boy, we used to believe an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You hit me, I got to hit you. And that was the way that we lived. But really, that was not biblical at all, was it? If I got somebody who wants to fight me, first of all, I should make sure that I don't fight them, right? And also, I should do my absolute best to pray for them. Amen? And so we're just going to look at some things tonight that are just concerning some issues here that I think that the Lord just wants us to go over. And I'm going to add something else to this while we're right here in the vicinity of this book. And it says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and I'm gonna read through here where it says in verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I don't know why, but when I was studying, I got on this bitterness thing, and buddy, it just stayed right there. It just would not move. And I want you to know that the Bible says that our responsibility is to follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. You know, one thing I want to encourage you about is that if you're not studying your Bible regularly, and if you're not looking to the Bible on how you're living your life and when things come across your path, if you're not looking to the Bible, how do you know that you're living in the kind of holiness that the Lord requires? See, we've got to study that Bible, and we've got to be an open book, and we've got to let God move on us and work within us. And the Bible says to follow peace with all men. Woo! Oh, I don't want to, but I've got to come down here close for a couple minutes. You know, we have to be so careful as the body of Christ, because on a day-to-day basis, you're going to deal with many subjects that actually have no bearing on your salvation. Now listen, it is not wrong for you to have opinions about your work and your job and all that kind of stuff, but those opinions really are not the things that have a bearing on your soul. Uh-oh. It is good. I'm not even saying it's a bad thing for you to have opinions politically woo, on what you believe, what your convictions on, but those opinions really have no bearing on your soul unless they stop us from getting along with other people. We should have peace with all people, amen? Oh, my goodness. So, you know what? I want you to know something, and I'm just saying this just because this is who I am. I'd expect you to say the same thing if it was you. Brandon, I'm going to say something. If you were saying it, I would expect you to say, just like I'm saying, before I'm a black man, I'm a Christian. And I'd expect Brandon to say, before I'm a white man, I'm a Christian. Amen? I want to make sure I take all racial tension out of this discussion, because, boy, we got enough of that going on nowadays, don't we? But I want you to know something, that before I have a political stance, I'm a Christian. As much as I love our country and as much as I believe in our country, before I'm an American, I'm a Christian. And I want you to start really understanding that part of the path forward that we're going to have as Christians is, can I rise up my faith above anything else? If I have people around me that I disagree with on subjects such as political issues, if you even have someone around you that you disagree with on taking the COVID, whatever that is, what's it called, a vaccine? Yeah, whether you take a vaccine or not. How can those things interrupt your love for someone And how can those things touch your Christian responsibility? And how could those differences stop you from praying for someone? Listen, I really want to just talk to you for a few minutes on this kind of stuff because, especially as we step into the new year, I just believe that we are going to have an opportunity to... I'm not saying that the world's going to change any. I'm not saying that everybody's going to change, but I just believe that as a church, we're stepping into a new season and a new year, and I think we're going to have an opportunity to just wash ourselves away from some of this stuff so that we can step into a deeper part of who we are in the Lord, okay? I want you to know something, that even when we were talking just a few minutes ago about how we want to practice repentance from dead works, what that really means is that you get the opportunity to discover more and more and more about who you are. Listen, we have not been in a position to discover the fullness of who we are as a person until we got saved. Now listen, I thank God for what you've lived. I thank God for what you've had even before you knew the Lord. But the truth is, your biggest opportunity and your true opportunity to know yourself now is being saved and being able to have a relationship with God. Amen? I want you to also know this too, and I'm not trying to be mean when I say this. It really doesn't matter what people accomplish and what people achieve and how big they do. If we were to find out that after all their big achievement, we would find out that they did not get saved, guess what we'd have to say about them? They didn't fulfill their full potential. Because the only thing valuable that we are really, 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 really going to get on this earth, and don't get me wrong, all the things that we got, all the things that we have around us are valuable, but the truest value is that we receive salvation and we all get to go to heaven, and that's when I want to really see you, is I want to see the fullness of who you are in heaven. Amen? Praise God. Can you imagine as calm and as quiet and as meek as I am and, you know, as easygoing as I am? Can you imagine how quiet I'll be in heaven? Woo! Okay. I didn't get too many biters on that one, but anyhow, praise the name of the Lord. Okay, I'm just going to share some things with you here that I believe are critical for us. And so I want us to understand something, that as believers, we have got to make sure that the world does not confuse us and shake us up and get us so stirred up by things that we miss who we are in the Lord and we miss what the Lord really has for us. Amen? I'm going to read some things to you here. And it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you." Man. Boy, that's just... "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Is it not amazing to find out that we, by keeping bitterness, and you know, bitterness is anger and disappointment about being treated unfairly. You know, really, sometimes, especially biblically, first of all, we don't want to carry unforgiveness or bitterness, do we? And if we're carrying unforgiveness, it's going to lead to bitterness. And here is what's interesting as we look about this in the kingdom of God. And here's what we got to know as we look about this in the kingdom of God. Is that oftentimes bitterness is our own justification of what's right. It's not necessarily the truth of what's right. Hallelujah. Sometimes when people are bitter, they will justify being bitter, but in all honesty, they don't have a right to be bitter. Well, Pastor, what if I was really wronged? Well, have we ever wronged Jesus? And what did he do even when we weren't deserving of it? He forgave us. If we think about it, remember when the guys were all surrounding him and they were putting him to the cross and they had done all these disrespectful things to our Savior. They had hit him. They had crowned him. They had done all this. And there he was at this point where of all times, you know, the Bible says that the Lord said himself, hey, I could call legions of angels right now. In other words, he had found us guilty. He had found us wrong. He had found us in a position where, in all honesty, instead of blessing us, he could have judged us, but then he decided to bless us. And then when he did, he put out his arms and said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. You know, I just want to speak to us tonight, because if we are carrying bitterness for any reason, I would like for you to go to the Lord, and I would like for you to begin to pray about it, and I'd like for you to put that to the Lord so that he can get you through that process. Because bitterness will hinder you from going anywhere with God. I want you to know that if you are angry-hearted, if you are a person, whether you are at work or wherever you are, I think we're going to need to read this just one more time. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. Boy, so you can't get away with yelling, fighting, cussing, fussing. There's nothing like that left out there for you to get away with. But put it away from you with all malice. Put it away from you. Because the thing it said before that was, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do you realize that there are some things that if we don't change and if we keep them continuing in our life, we will limit the Spirit's ability to move on our behalf? Listen, sometimes you might have everything in a row and might be doing everything right, but when it comes to work, you might have a workplace that has you heated up right now. You might have a few people in your workplace that have you really frustrated, and as a result, you are all bound up in that workplace issue, and as a result, it's causing the Holy Ghost to limit his interaction with you. Oh, come on, hallelujah, Jesus, praise the Lord. And at that time, it's time for you to recognize that, hey, I've got to take this to the Lord and I've got to start asking him for help. I've got to start asking him what it takes and what can he do to help me get away from this situation. I'm going to read just a couple things here for you. And it says in Proverbs chapter 15, a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stirs up anger. Ooh. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of the foolish poureth out foolishness. Boy, that's speaking something, isn't it? A soft answer turns away wrath, but the grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of the fools poureth out foolishness. Listen to this. I want you to understand something. That it is our responsibility to make sure that we do our best to keep all situations at a level of calm. That's just what our basic, that's just a basic thing that we do. And so here it says that a soft answer turns away wrath. I want you to start considering, do you purposely provide a soft answer? Have you ever even given it consideration? Have you ever asked yourself, am I the kind of person that stirs up wrath? Am I the kind of person that has to speak what I want, when I want, how I want, and I don't care what I say to who I say? Or am I the kind of person that purposely says, Lord, for your glory, for your glory, Jesus, because you are my Lord and Savior. I'm just looking straight back. For your glory, because you are my Lord and Savior, I purposely give a soft answer. Well, hallelujah. What about Safebook? Safebook, is it Safebook or Hatebook or Facebook? Do we give a soft answer on Safebook? I'm speaking faith. That's why I call it Safebook. I'm speaking faith. But no, I want to ask us, do we purposely give soft answers, or are we on edge with our voice? Are we just combatant? Do we have to speak in a certain way where we bring just anything we can out of another person and don't care if we're making them angry or hurting them? I want to just read this to you. And I think I said it, but I want to just put it out there, because when it comes from the Word of God, it has so much more power. But in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, for it says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Oh, man. Is that deep or what? If I am going to receive forgiveness from God, I have to forgive people. See, that's why I can't afford to hang on to bitterness. See, I can't hang on to bitterness, because if I do, I'm staying unforgiven and it'll just eat me up. And the enemy will come and use it to just keep browbeating me. And before you know it, I become bitter, I become angry, I become hate-filled, I become someone who walks away from my salvation, and I just turn myself away from those things of God because I'm filled with bitterness. And we just cannot do that. And if we are going to receive forgiveness, boy, I know that people don't like to see scriptures like this, but I didn't write them, I'm just reading them. Then we're going to look here in the book of James. This, I think, is a lot nicer scripture, James chapter 1. It says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and servility of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Do you see why the Word of God is so important? If we can receive with meekness the engrafted word, it will actually take these other things out of our life. And this is what we want to have happening. We want to make sure that we're walking in such a way that God can give us redemption, meekness, and the power of his word to change our life and to change our heart and to change who we are. Amen? And these are things that the Lord wants to do for us. And these are things that God wants to keep in our lives. And I'm going to go right now. And I got one more scripture here. And then I want to share a good, powerful story. I want you to know that the Bible says that hatred stirreth up strife, but love covers all sins. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covers all sins. Do you realize that the Lord wants you to be such a person of power that even when people mistreat you, you don't hold on to it? I tell you what, there are people who you can be a witness to just because you treat them right when they treat you wrong. And there's people that are going to be blessed. There's people that are going to change their life just because they see how you respond and how you react to people. And then I'm just going to share with you in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts 16, I'm just going to read to you about a time that Paul and Silas prayed because they had a situation that was not good that fell upon them. And I want you to know that I'm not even showing you everything about it, because if you read up above this, I'm going to read in Acts chapter 16, verse 25, but I want you to know that up above it, they were beaten, and they were beaten hard, and then they were thrown in prison because they were speaking about Jesus. So they were doing what us Christians are supposed to be doing, and as a result, they got thrown in prison for it. And it says that in Acts chapter 16, verse 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that there were in the house. And he took them to the same hour that night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. Now, here's the thing. You can go down and you can read the rest of that about this man, but I just wanted to share for a few minutes with you. How crazy is that? I mean, here these guys are already beaten because they love Jesus. And here, who knows what's going to happen to them, wrongfully being put to death and all that kind of stuff. And here's what's so amazing is, even when the angel came and broke them free and they could have ran, they stayed. They stayed right there while this man was watching over them, and the guy woke up out of sleep, sprang up ready to kill himself, and instead of letting him kill himself, they said, "Hey, stop, we're still here." How many of us, when we think about people treating us fair, or when we think about when we have a right to be, to have unforgiveness or to have a bad attitude about how someone's treating us, is it even ever over the word? I mean, here these guys got put into prison because of the word of God. And sometimes we get persecuted over things that are just part of the world, and we can't even get ourselves over that. Let alone could we get persecuted for the word of God, end up in prison, not complain, take a beating for Jesus, and then when doors open up and we could run out and save ourselves, stay right there just so that you could witness, and then one of the men who was a guard over you, get him and his whole family saved. Amen. You know, I'm just praying tonight that we would be people as Christians that make sure that if we're going to get angry, at least let it have relevance to something. I mean, the things at work, don't get me wrong. I know you get stressed. I know you got a lot on your plate. I know that it's busy. I know that it's hectic. But I'm telling you that as a Christian, the minute you're getting angry, someone who knows that you're a Christian, or someone who wants to know about you being a Christian, or someone who is wondering about you being a Christian, is watching. And we don't want to lose any opportunity to be people of faith. We don't want to lose any opportunity to be a blessing to our household, to be a blessing to the church, to be a blessing to our family, to have the Lord look at us and see that we kept his character and his nature in such a way that he did not have to get grieved and pull back from us, but he could stand right with us. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just declare your glory. God, we just declare your greatness, Father. Lord, I just speak about the goodness and the greatness of God. And Father, what you desire to do in our lives, Father, Lord, let no bitterness, unforgiveness, or any hatred or anger be something that's a normal part of our life, Father. And Lord, let us grow every day stronger and stronger so that these things do not overtake us, but God, that your word overtakes us, God. That we get better and better by your grace and by your mercy and by the empowering of your spirit, Lord. And Father, we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just pray for Rhonda and her husband, God. We put them before you, and Father, I pray that this sickness would leave him, God. Father, that this congestion and these other issues, Father, Lord, that they would come out. Lord, that you would just loose healing into him in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray for Rhonda and for her husband that you would just strengthen them, God, and that, Father, you would just give them peace, God. And Lord, I thank you that this would just change, Father, and be done and healed. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I tell you what, I thank you, each and every one of you, for being here tonight. And I will be up here to pray for anybody who needs prayer. But at this point, I think I'm going to let us go. And I pray that you have a very, very good evening and a very, very good rest of the week. And I'll see you on Sunday. Amen.